We begin Parashas this week. We begin Chumash and Chumash Shemos. Rashi, what is Chumash Shemos all about? Chumash Shemos is about, in essence, the selection of Klal Yisrael. Asha bochar banu mikol ho'amim. And what else is it about? It's also about the selection of Moshe Rabbeinu to be our leader. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that every single Shabbos, we come to shul, we learn. What do we learn on Shabbos? We learn from the Torah, and we learn from the Haftorah. We learn the Parsha, and we learn from the words of the prophets. Why do we learn from the words of the prophets? There are many reasons. Most people know the familiar reason that once upon a time there was a time of Shemad, where the Goyim did not allow us to read from the Torah, so instead we temporarily, just that we should never forget that we have a Torah, we read from the Nevi'im, the prophets, as a reminder. And then when the Gezeiras HaShemad was lifted, so you know, once we started a nice custom to read from the Haftorah, from the prophets, in order, so you know what, let's continue. So that's how it came about that we read every Shabbos from the Nevi'im after we read from the Chumash. It's a zecher to the time of Shmad, when the Goyim did not allow us to read from the Torah, but they did allow us to read from the prophets. That's what I think most people are familiar with, but that's not the only reason. There are much more deeper reasons as to why we read from the Nevi'im. Even if it wasn't Gezeiras HaShmad, it would seem that there's also a takana that we should read from the Nevi'im, because their message is timely. Their message, the Haftorah, to a degree, is a commentary on the Parsha, or it is a commentary on current events, v'chulu v'chulu. But every Shabbos, however it came about, the fact is, we read from the Parshas HaShavua, and we read from the words of the Nevi'im. Before we read from the Torah, we make a bracha. The bracha is, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bochar banu mikol ho'amim, v'nasan lanu es toirosoi. You have selected us mikol ho'amim. You selected us, and you have given us your Torah. Isn't that the major theme of this week's parasha? The major theme of this week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Moshe and says, "My people, my nation, are in danger. I'm going to extract them from their danger, I'm going to redeem them." And Moshe says, for what purpose? What's the purpose of all this? Why do you want to let them just, you know, disappear? Let them assimilate, and who cares? Hashem says, "B'hoitziach ha'asam in Mitzrayim, ta'avdun es ho'elokim alohor hazeh." How dare you challenge my purpose? There's a very great purpose, and they have a very great merit to be redeemed, is because they're going to receive the Torah on Har Sinai. The purpose of me selecting these people and redeeming them is for the goal of Matan Torah. That's what it says in this week's parasha. I'm selecting them. In other words, this week's parasha, more so than any other parsha of the 54 parshios of the Torah, captures the bracha that we make when we read the Sefer Torah. Asher bochar banu mikol ho'amim v'nosan lanu es Torah soy. This is the parsha. Getting an aliyah, the parsha Shemos, is the spitz of getting an aliyah. Because every other week, every other time, day of the year, when you get an aliyah, it's very nice. I was called to the Torah, and I made a bracha. Very nice. But it's yofe to do something in its proper time. And when you're getting an aliyah in Parshas Shemos, which is where the Torah lays out the nation, it's not anymore about the avos. Chumash Bereishis is Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. They have a nucleus, a family of 70 souls. At the end of Chumash Bereishis, the number of the people in the Klal Yisrael is the number 70. That's the whole thing. It's just a clan. It's a tribe. 70 people, how many people lived in the world at that point in time? No one knows. No one knows if there were billions of people or there were millions of people. No way to possibly know the world population. Anything you're going to, an encyclopedia you're going to look up, they're going to tell you what they think it was. They don't know what they're talking about. No way can anyone possibly know what the world population was. But 70 people, it's not a nation. It's a tribe. When we begin Chumash Shemos, it's the beginning of a nation. We list the names of the, it begins with the names, Ve'ele Shemos B'nei Habam Mitzrayma, and V'nei Yisrael Paru, V'yishritzu, V'yirbu, V'yatzmu, B'mo'oid me'oid. 70 turned into 3 million, more, only V'chamushim Alu B'nei Shalom Yeretz Mitzrayim. Okay, turned into a lot more, and we're dealing with, whatever, it turned into a nation. And this nation was in grave danger. Hova nischakim oloi pen yirbe. Let us plan how to annihilate them, destroy them. And Hashem says, Moshe, we got to save these people. Moshe says, What's the purpose? Why? Why do you want to save them? What are you going to accomplish? What are you going to accomplish? Beoitziacho esom mimitzrayim ta'avdun. I'm going to give them the Torah right here on this spot where you stand, the burning bush. The Sneh, Asherinenu Ukal, according to Chazal, was on Har Sinai. Where you're standing is where I'm going to give them the Torah. Asher bochar banu mikol ho'amim v'nosan lanu es Torah. So this is the week. But it's much more than that. Because after you read from the Torah, you then read from the Haftarah, the Nevi'im. And what is the bracha? The bracha that we make before we read the Haftarah, where's Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar is not here.
Is he online?
He's not online, no. So Rabbi Elazar, I told this Rabbi Elazar yesterday. And Meir was there also. And Heshi. What is the bracha of the Haftarah? The bracha of the Haftarah is Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu melech ha'olam asher bochar b'nevi'im tovim. Hashem selects his prophets. V'ratzo v'divrehem ha'ne'emorim b'emes. We'll discuss that in one moment, a second vart. And Hashem has a desire for their words, which are said with truth. Baruch ato Hashem ha'boicher. Hashem does a lot of selections in this world. He's boicher b'Torah. He's boicher. One second over here. Issue on the computer. One second. Hashem is boicher in the Torah. Hashem is boicher in Moshe Avdoi. Ha boicher b'Torah uvi Moshe Avdoi uvi Yisrael Amo uvi Nevi'eho Emes for Tzedek. Hashem selects. He's very, very picky, very selective. He has chosen the Torah. He has chosen Moshe. He has chosen the Jewish people. And he has chosen the prophets. Moshe is the Av HaNevi'im. And just as we begin the bracha, Asher Bochar B'Nevi'im Tovim, Hashem has chosen his prophets. And amongst the prophets that he chose, as we say in the Ani Mamins, Moshe is the Av HaNevi'im. There are two separate Ani Mamins for prophecy. One is for all the prophets, and one is just one Ani Mamin just for Moshe, that he is the Av, the father of the Nevi'im, and Hashem has selected him. That's the bracha. In which parsha in the Torah, Mark, did Hashem select Moshe Rabbeinu? In which parsha?
This parsha.
It says in Rashi, Rashi says that Hashem was fighting with him, was persuading him for 7 days. 7 days. And Moshe said to Hashem, no. Moshe gave Hashem.
What parsha is sweet?
Shemos, parsha Shemos. Hashem selected Moshe Rabbeinu in this week's parsha. When we say this bracha on the Haftarah, there is no parsha, there is no time in the year that is more apropos to make this bracha than Parsha Shemos on this day. Because this parsha is where Hashem selected Moshe. Not Aaron, not Korach, Chas v'Shalom, Moshe. And Hashem, Rashi goes through for 7 days, continuously persuaded Moshe, I'm not taking no for an answer. Meet all of your excuses. You're a kavat peh. You have an older brother. They're not going to listen to me. This and that, they're going to listen to you. Aaron will be very happy for you to be the leader. And there's a purpose in doing this. There's a whole two aliyas, a whole discussion. Don't give me any excuses. This went on for 7 days. Why do you want me? There are other people. Send Eliyahu, shlach, what?
Did he go back to his campsite at night or was with God 7 days?
I don't know.
It was by the bush, 7 days.
Bechor, 7 days? He was there continuously.
7 days, by the bush? Huh?
He was asking, did he get a break?
He practiced for the 40 days that he was going to be.
He's saying very good. The mayor's saying very good. It was a practice for the 40 days. He was there with Hashem 7 days continuously, no eating, no drinking. I don't know. We don't know what happened exactly. It says in Rashi. Rashi says for 7 days Hashem.
That's what I was wondering.
Rashi says 7 days continuously HaKadosh Baruch Hu persuaded Moshe, and all of the excuses go through a whole long list of excuses. Hashem said they're not excuses and you don't have a choice. This is what you have to do. Hashem selected Moshe. So therefore, when you make the bracha on this week's parasha, Asher Bochar Binviim Toivim, who is the Rosh of the Avhanavim? Moshe, as the bracha concludes, Asher Bochar Batoira Uvi Yisrael Uvi Moshe Avdoi. Hashem selected Moshe. You can't get a better parasha than this week's parasha. So it's a double dosage. It's a double dosage. You think Chazak, Venis Chazek is a powerful parasha? This is much more powerful. Because here you're making a bracha B'Shem Umalchus with Hashem's name on a day which literally captures the essence of the bracha, of both brachas. Before you read the Torah, you make a bracha. Before you read the Haftarah, you make a bracha. We take with this the whole year. We make these brachas. But when you read the day of the week, when the day of the year, when you read Parsha Shemos, what it says in the Parsha is, this is the Parsha of the selection of Asher Bochar, Asher Bochar Bonu Mikol Ho'amim. In Chumash Bereishis, there's no nation. It's Ovos. It's Sefer HaYoshar. It's the foundation. The foundation is Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. This week is when the family, the clan, the tribe, mushrooms into a nation. V'nei Yisrael. They were only children of Israel. Paru vayishritzu vayiru vayatzmu b'mo'oid me'oid. And now all of a sudden they have a nation. Vayom melech mitzrayim. What's going to be? We have a nation over here. This is a nation. Asher bochar banu mikol ho'amim. For what purpose? Moshe says, why? Who cares? In this week's parasha, who was selected to be the leader? Moshe. Hashem says, shal nilecha mel ravech yavak mashat ha'oimet ad mas kodesh. You're my man, Moshe. So I just want to impress upon myself and you, is that it's kedai, the aliyahs are kedai to go for an enormous amount of money. I'll tell you some gaiva now. I'm very friendly. Where I dive, they have auctions only on Yom Tif. And the guy who does the auction is really good. He should be a car salesman. he's good. He knows how to talk. So I observed him, and I'm very funny. And I told him, "Why don't we up it again? Like, you know, let's. I'm gonna tell you what to say for each aliyah. And he told me, you know, the Rashiva will kill me if I do this. I said, let's take a risk. We'll work out. I'll say the Hesped. Don't worry. let's work it out. Let's. So he did it. Yeah. I know. I told him. So it turned out that it worked, and we raised a lot more money. Now what did we say? I told him crazy things to say, and he said, it was Shabbos Chalamoid. So you lay in Solucha Chalamoid, Yom Tov, Shabbos Chalamoid. What are you laying? You laying in Kisisa, Yilein, the luchos shneis, psalucha shnei luchos avonim. So I told him, you say, this is not a joke. So I said, this aliyah, chami, revi, skula for ashirus. He said this publicly. A lot of people were there. So they said, what? Guy said, what? Where does it say that? That guy called out, what are you talking about? We're going next aliyah, who wants to bid? $100, $100 revi, $100 revi. It's skula for ashirus. All of a sudden, everyone woke up. I'm not joking. Everyone woke up. School of Ashiris. So guy shouted, what? Where did it say? So he said, Psolucha. Psolucha ha psoilus loy nis asher moishe ela mi psoilus from the psoilus of the luchos shniyos. Hashem said, could chisel out and from the dust. Moshe, that's psol, the psolus loch, it's for you to keep. And Chazal say from that, Moshe became rich. It's a very interesting word. A psolus, so he read the Chazal very quickly. And all of a sudden, people started bidding. All of a sudden, the bids. The biggest one was Skula for Shaduchim. I don't know, maybe I'm joking. I don't know if we had one. But, you know, I really believe very firmly that it's very kedai that when they do auctions, they should say these things. I don't. It's not a joke. I wasn't telling them as a joke. And then the Rashi gave me Yashar Koach. He says, who told him to say this? So I told him, I told. So he says, Yashar Koach, it was very good. He said it was very good. It was very kedai to give it a little more flavor. Like a teaching lesson. What is the Aliyah about? Get people excited. And also, ding, 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 ding. Okay, money. He told me $100, he told me for sure $100 more came in because he did this. Because he was prepared to say very quickly, like, what is the Ali about? What are you buying? Get a little flavor and just say a quick Maimon Chazal. It adds a little more flavor and people get excited about it. It makes a difference. And every shul they should do this. It's a little favor. So based upon that yisoid, and I really believe in this fully with my full heart, this week's parsha is a big deal. Because this week's parsha, you're making two brachas. Before you read the Torah, and before you read the half Torah. And there is no day in the year where these brachos leap off the page. They live in the air. Because this week's parasha is Asher Bochar Bonim Yikol Ho'amim V'Nosan Lanu Es Torah Soi. And this week's parasha is Asher Bochar Bin Nevi'im Toivim. And Hashem has selected Asher Bochar Batoira Uvim Moshe Avdoi. Hashem selected Moshe. Okay, that concludes this Vart. Now, I want to go to part two of this Vart. And this was, I believe, to be very, very important. This is part two. Yesterday, we were learning tefillah on Thursday, and anyone wants to come, making an advertisement, we have a shiur on tefillah Thursday night at 7:15 on this bat channel. Over here on Zoom, we have a shiur, not on the Young Israel channel, on my private channel, the night channel. On the night channel, we learned tefillah and Yonei tefillah Thursday night at 7:15. So I said over, we're learning about the brachos of the haftar. So I said over a vart, and it's, I think it's very, very apropos for this week's parasha. Very quickly, the vart I saw this vart in, I have it in my big actually, very, very fascinating. Two, three weeks ago in Mishpacha magazine, they had an insert about Rav Aaron Koller. See this, I have it in my bag. Okay, they made a whole magazine. There are no advertisements. Could you imagine such a thing? A magazine with no advertisements? This is unheard of. And it was an insert. Back page, you're right. Back page is not even an advertisement. Oraisa. It's a Torah Dika advertisement. It's not, I don't even know it's a real advertisement. It's a very chashva program. It's a very chashva thing. It's Kula Torah. The whole thing over here is Kula Torah. It's all about Rav Aaron Koller. It is unbelievable what they have in here. This is mamash a PhD thesis here. They have over here an enormous amount of information they stuffed into these 100 pages. How many pages? 90 pages? 87 pages? They stuffed into this an enormous amount of information. Enormous. With incredible pictures that you've never seen before. Okay, it's not everyone appreciates this because you have to probably be a member of that time. If you people, I guess, before my time, so a lot of this totally goes over my head, but I can imagine my parents would see this, they would really chap hanah from this, because they probably knew a lot of the people in these pictures, which I really have no clue who they are. There's an enormous amount of information here. Derech Agav, I forgot who said it. Someone here in one of these articles said a vart that I think is just gold. The vart is worth its weight in gold and makes this whole thing worth everything about the meaning, the pshat in this bracha, shabochar bin v'yim toivim. We say this bracha every time. It's not so easy to find a perish on the brachos of the Haftarah. You can have a whole library on the Shemoneh Esrei, but you're not going to be able to find too much material Mefarshim explaining the depth of the brachos of the Haftarah. And the bracha of the Haftarah we make before we make the Haftarah is Asher Bochar. Hashem has selected bin v'yim toivim in good prophets. The Ratzah v'divrehem, and then it says, and Hashem Ratzah. How do you translate this? I don't really know. Hashem, he wants, he has satisfaction, he has desire, he is pleased with their words, v'divrehem, with their words, hane'emorim, that are said, enunciated, or relayed, be'emes, with truth. What in the world do those four words mean? V'rotza, 1, 2, 3, v'rotza, v'divrehem, hane'emorim, be'emes. I mean, we can translate it, and we can read it our whole life, 1,000 times. What does it mean? Hashem has selected prophets, good prophets, and he's pleased. He has favor. He's pleased. It's acceptable before him, their words that are said with truth. Okay, we can translate it the whole day, right? I translate the whole day. Your whole life, what does that mean? Of course. I mean, who put the words in their mouth? If the prophets, a prophet is just basically a pipe. Hashem is speaking to the world through a mouthpiece of a human being, a channel, a conduit, a channel of a human being who is a prophet. And Hashem is pleased. He finds it pleasing and acceptable, the words that come forth through them that are said with truth. Well, of course you are pleased, because they're your words, Hashem. You're the one that's speaking through the prophet. I mean, how obvious could it possibly be? How obvious could it possibly be? So what does it mean exactly? So someone over here in this magazine, I can't remember who said it and where it says it, explains as follows. The words here do not refer to the words of the prophets as they're talking, when Hashem is inspiring them to say words. It's not what it means. When it says, we're going back to the early life of a prophet. No one knows they're going to be a prophet when he's going to, let's make believe, put in modern terms, let's talk about in modern day, you have a boy in high school, and he's talking to his friends, his chaverim, and they're talking about food, they're talking about sports, they're talking about night seder, they're talking about their daily activities. They communicate to one another, they talk to each other. There are some boys, if you ever go to a dining room in a yeshiva, and you sit in the dining room and you listen to the boys talk, you listen to them. It's interesting to hear what they have to say. Okay, go to Chaim Berlin, listen to them during breakfast, and see what they're talking about. See how they talk, what they talk about. There are some boys that, you know, have a lot yet to do, to learn. They can be talking, they're not refined. They're not yet refined. They're talking about total nonsense. They're talking about things that they should not be talking about. Lashon hara, chas v'shalom, pritzus. They're talking about
sports.
Whatever. No, even if talking, whatever it is. And then you'll find some boys who talk with respect, who are talking about divrei Torah. They're talking about, in yonei de'alma, sichos talmidei chachamim tzrichim limud. They're talking about whatever, politics. But there's a refinement, there is an honesty, there's a sincerity, there is dignity, and it's a powerful experience to listen to people speak, to communicate in ordinary matters. We're not talking about God putting words in their mouth. Who does Hashem select to be his prophet. Hashem selects objects, people in this case, who when they speak, the tool is a pure tool. If you go and you want to go buy a piano, so a person who's a mumcha knows all the different types of piano. If you want to go buy a violin, you know all the different types of violins out there, you know the whole chokhmah. This is going to be the tool I'm going to use to communicate the music. I better have a good violin, okay? I'm not going to go buy a toy. I'm going to go buy the real deal. Because this is going to be the object which we will use to communicate my music to the world. When Hashem wants to find a voice box, to find the vocal cords to use to communicate his message, and a person that's going to take the message and use vocabulary and use his mind, his integrity of MS and Sheker, Hashem selects who he wants. He doesn't just take any person off the street. He doesn't just take any Rosh Hashiva who gives a big shir somewhere and is a big lamdon, oh, you're going to be my prophet. There's more to being a prophet than just being a big lamdon and having big yichus. I need a voice box. I need a person who knows what to say, how to say, who is honest, who has integrity, and who is refined. His words are words that are proper. So Hashem selects who he wants. And the one that Hashem is going to select is a person who knows what to say, not who has a history of knowing what to say. Asher bochar binviyim tovim. Hashem selects good people. Who does he select? You have to add some words into the pasuk. Who is he going to select? He's going to select people that v'ratzav v'divrehem, who Hashem found pleasing their words when they were young. Before they were selected, before they became a prophet, which ha'ne'emorim be'emes. These four words are describing Hashem is scouting talent. Hashem is going to all the dining rooms and all the yeshivas and looking for people and listening, and Hashem says, this guy,
worthy for the job.
This person, I find it very pleasing the way he talks. It's very pleasing the way this child or this young adult, the way he communicates with his chaverim. The ratzah v'divrehem, their words, ordinary words. They're talking about the weather, about sports, about politics. But there's a difference between a vulgar person who talks about politics versus a mature Talmud Chacham, a Yerei Shemayim, who talks about politics. V'ratzah v'divrehem ha'ne'emorim be'emes. Oh, I find that person very pleasing. I enjoy the way he communicates with his chaverim with MS. You know something, sir? I got a job for you. I have selected you to be my man, to be my representative. I want you now to give over a message for me. And I know you'll do a good job, because I know that when you speak with refinement, with sincerity, with MS. So these four words are going back on a history of the person before he was the prophet as to why he was selected to be the prophet. Isn't that a good vart? So good vart, so that's what it says over here in this Mishpacha magazine, the insert from Aaron Kotler. Someone there wrote this up, I guess, to talk about Aaron Kotler before he was known to be who he was. Now, I want to take that idea and show...
Now, you got to ask, what did Hashem see
in Moshe? Exactly. You, Mamash, Michal, he knows how I think. So now, over here in Parashat Shemos, Hashem comes to Moshe, and Hashem says to Moshe, I got a job for you. Moshe sees the burning bush. Moshe says, why is the bush burning? Madua lo yivar hasneh? wow, look at this. Moshe, everyone talks about that, and Moshe was curious. Curiosity is what is really is a very important element of becoming of how Moshe became, how he was recruited. Okay, so Vayomer Moshe, maybe even you can say this. I mean, when it says Vayomer Moshe, did Moshe say it? Maybe he said it, maybe that's also what it means. Okay, when it says Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said, the first time we find Moshe speaking, okay, I mean, Moshe spoke, I mean, you can take this idea, you can really go back to the story of Dasan Va'aviran, Madua, why are you hitting, why are you raising, why are you fighting? You can go back, you know, you can go and record every single thing that Moshe said before he became a prophet.
Enochinami.
There's not a whole lot, but there is a little bit. There is, because he said to the Lama Sakirayach, okay, that's also, you can go back. I don't want to go that far back. I want to go back to the message over here. Okay, even that you can darshan. But the main thing that I really want to focus on is that authority, okay, but it's also, it says Vayomer. Okay, but here's what I really feel is the main point. Moshe, Hashem says, V'at, Hashem over here gives a very long speech. Hashem is very verbose. V'ata, hinei, tzakas, b'nei Yisrael, bo Eloi. V'gam reisi es alachatz, Hashem lachatz masam. V'ata now, l'cha, Moshe, come, l'cha. V'esh l'chacha el paro, I will send you. V'hoitzei es ami b'nei Yisrael b'mitzrayim. Now is where Moshe, for the first time, I believe this is the first time Moshe speaks to Hashem directly. Maybe I'm mistaken, but I think this is the first time Moshe speaks. Vayomer Moshe el ho'elokim. First words that Moshe says to Hashem are, I'll tell you before I say this, what does it say in Shulchan Aruch? What are you supposed to say when you teach a child? When a child knows how to speak, what are you supposed to say? Torah Sivlon Moshe. I remember, I have a friend, he passed away. You know, this is Kiwi Aaron Price. He passed away, and he was very, very sick. Chaman al-Stone, what he went through was unbelievable. They did major surgery, like a marathon surgery, and my Rebbe of Chaim Siegel happened to be there in the hospital visiting at the moment when they woke him up. After like a 3-day surgery, it was a marathon surgery, whatever it was, and they sedated him, and now they were stimulating him to wake up. And it was going to be a big test if he would still be operational when he woke up. And they were going to ask him to speak. So they said, what should we tell him to say? So Chaim Siegel said, tell him to say, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. He was in the hospital room when they woke him up, and he said, say the words. Torah Tziva Lanu, it's an adult, not just a child. Okay, say those words. The new you, version 2. Chaman al-Tzani was very sick his whole life. So here, Moshe's first words are, Vayoymer Moshe El Elokim, the first words. Mi Onoichi? Who am I? It sounds like a cliche today. Unfortunately, these words have turned into, Mi Onoichi? It's like, but Moshe meant it seriously. Mi onoichi. Who am I? Who am I? Ki eilich el paro. And number two, second thing he said to Hashem, V'chi oitzi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzroyim. Can I really take them out? Rashi, what zuchus do they have? There's no free lunch in this world. Except in the Young Israel of Midland. There is no free lunch in this world. V'chi oitzi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim, Rashi, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Rashi, v'chi oitzi, v'af im choshuv ani, mo zochu Yisrael sheyase lohem neis. V'oitzi em mimitzrayim. What zuchos? Those are the first words. So I want to suggest pshat, based upon what it says in this magazine, v'rotzov v'divrehem ha'ne'morim be'emes. Why did Hashem select Moshe? Why do we say Habaycher ba Torah uvi Moshe avdo? Why did Hashem select Moshe? Why didn't He select someone else? Because Moshe is the one. The first words that he said to Hashem was V'ratzov v'divrehem ha'ne'morim be'emes. It's not going on Hashem speaking. Of course Hashem knows what he wants to say. It's going on what the person said before he became, before Hashem put into his mouth what to say. Why you? I went to the dining room when you were a child and I heard you say the words Mi anoichi. Who am I? Who am I? I'm a nothing. And I heard you say, if you want to get something in this world, there are no handouts. There's no free lunch. There's no entitlements. You want something, you have to earn it. What's the chus? Oh, we're going to go take them out of Egypt? It's not going to work. I'm just going to go, we're going to do miracles? It's not going to work. It's not going to work. If you don't have merit, it's just not going to work. This guy, he knows his stuff. This person, Moshe Rabbeinu, V'rotzah v'divrehem ha'ne'emorim b'mes. The reason why Hashem chose Moshe, this is the parsha of selection. Hashem selected Bochar Bonim Mikol Ha'amim. Hashem selected Moshe because Moshe, ki why? V'rotzah v'divrehem ha'ne'emorim b'mes. There's no greater MS in this world than to be makir mi onoichi. And you are a nobody. That's never going to go away by me. Okay? I told you, Mark, they should never let me go to these conventions. It's dangerous. Mi anoichi. Know who you are. There's no greater MS. There is no greater MS than saying, to say, mi anoichi, and to say, and what's chus? This is v'rotzah v'divrehem ha'ne'morim be'emes. What? Both. He's saying both. Right, exactly. He's saying, oh, you want me to go on a Mission Impossible? Mission Impossible. I don't go on Mission Impossible. You can't go on Mission Impossible. You have to have merit. If you do not have merit, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You have to have Klal Yisrael must have merit. We live in a world today that no one believes in this. We live in a world today, you don't need merit. Everything is for free. Everything is for free. There's a whole movement of guaranteed income. What is it called? Rabbi Michal, what is it called?
That's what it's called.
Guaranteed income. All these ideas which are poison, they're kineged kol ha'tarah kula. No pain, no gain. Yigias kapecha ki soichel. Ashrecha v'toivlach. Guaranteed income, that policy, that agenda is kineged kol ha'Torah kula. It's a pasuk in the Torah. All these ideas that they're promoting today are mamish, there's a pasuk in the Torah, mamish, kineged, these ideas, they're a disaster. They're a disaster. The Torah is MS, it's Torah's MS, and if it's a ferish pasuk, it's mind-boggling what people come up with and what people believe in them when they pass these laws. It makes you wonder what's going on. Moshe Rabbeinu, Hane'emorim asher rotzo v'divrehem Hane'emorim be'emes, the greatest words of truth that can be possibly said, which Hashem selected Moshe, was me, the first words that he said to Hashem. Mi onoichi v'chi oitzi es b'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim, perish Rashi. Where's their zchus? I'm not going on any suicide missions. If they have a zchus, nothing can stop me. If they don't have a zchus, nothing I can do will be successful.
Wasn't that negative of Moshe Rabbeinu that he didn't see a zchus in the Klal Yisrael?
Rashi said, Rashi says he has good reason. He experienced. Rashi says Meferish, he experienced the mi somcho leish. So it says Vayira Moshe, he was afraid. What was he afraid? Rashi second shot. I don't care about myself. I'm not afraid of my life. They want to kill me, kill me. I'm afraid now that Klal Yisrael has no merit. If there could be such a thing in Klal Yisrael, where someone's willing to go and report another Jew over to a corrupt government, which will result in his death for not committing a crime, then we're in a lot of trouble. If society can produce such a person, like that, that's you know, that's like someone, like a couple of weeks ago, there was a mice in Lakewood where someone was stabbed. What?
A kid.
A kid. They quieted down the whole thing. They quieted down the whole thing right away. I heard the whole thing was pulled off websites, censorship. I don't know anything about this story. I don't even know the Aleph base. The Aleph base about the story. So someone on Shabbos, we're talking about, someone on Shabbos says, what do you say about such a story? So I said, nothing. This, I don't even know the Aleph base. Was this person, was he mentally ill? What medications is he on? Is the person a mentally stable person? Does he have a history of, first thing you have,
the stabber.
Does he have a history of mental health issues? If he was in a hospital for mental health issues and on medication, this story should not even be in the news. It should not be in the news because the news is not meant to deal with people that are, there are no lessons to learn from people, Rahmana Litzlan, that are very, very sick. What? You know what I mean. Not to make a big deal about it, to go meshug about it.
The system didn't work. That's the problem.
So the question is, if the child is a healthy, normal child that's not on any medications and is just a regular kid and he went and he stabbed with a knife in the chest another child, oh boy, this is something. You have two kids in yeshiva. I don't know what happened. I'm not sick. I have no idea. No, not. It would appear that the kid was not mentally well. How do you know it was not mentally well? Because they took off the story from all the websites. That can only be, I'm making an assumption, and maybe I'm totally wrong. It's because, Rahman al-Islam, there are a lot of sick people out there who have mental health issues or on very serious dosages of medication. So a story like this is dealt with the hospital and people like this. But if this child is not, a child that's a regular, healthy child from a regular family or even not a regular family, and he stabs another child, then this is a red alert. This is for Klal Yisrael, something to talk about. How could it be that society, our society, could produce such a thing that something like this can happen? Then you're right. If one person can say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Misamcha le'ish, sar v'shefet oleinu, I'm going to go tell the government and you're going to be dead by tomorrow morning. So Moshe says, even though Klal Yisrael is 3 million plus people, blah, blah, if Klal Yisrael could produce even one person that has the chutzpah to talk, this is a symptom, then of a very great disease that is lurking in the background, and now I'm afraid, Taka, they have no schus.
Excuse me, with respect to the one question was, why was Moshe Rabbeinu selected? Now, he was selected before he made the statement.
Correct. So so let's nuance what I'm saying is that
Moshe Rabbeinu said, it says, Vayetze
El Ochev, right?
And Vayar,
but doesn't say that he said, it doesn't say that very much that he said. You're right. But what I'm trying to say is, if Moshe Rabbeinu said these words when Hashem selected him, I'm trying to suggest is that this was on the tip of his tongue, this attitude, these words, this approach to life, his Weltanschauung. These were his words his whole life. It just now when Hashem says, Moshe, I'm selecting you, you've been selected. So Moshe says, Mi anoichi, and what's chus? This is not new.
This is his mahus.
This is his mahus. It happens to be that it's recorded over here at the moment when it's too late already. But if Moshe says this, you always this is who he is. Mahu Oimer. There are certain people. This is what. Like Kevin Perkey of us. Mahu Oimer. This didn't just say it now. This is what they say their whole life. It captures who they are. Moshe's words, his whole life from the time he started.
Also, by Kairos, also
This is what he said in the very beginning, before, when he was a child. Oh, exactly, Moshe. That's why I'm selecting you. These are the words that you represent who you are, and that's exactly why I'm sending you. Okay, let's go to another part.
So were you saying that he had a negative or pessimistic point of view, but he spoke the truth? So therefore he was appropriate.
Right. The words that he said, "Mi anoichi,"
they're not going to listen to me and all this other stuff. Right.
That's excuses. Hashem, you know why I'm choosing you? The bracha. What is the bracha? Asher bochar binvim tovim. Why? What is the criteria for Hashem to select a prophet? What is the criteria? How do you become a prophet?
Okay, so there's two sides. There's his qualifications, and there's B'nai Yisrael zechus or lack of it, except for zechus.
Right, that's a side point.
Okay.
Right. Hashem, why is Hashem selecting Moshe? Because Moshe, mohu oimer, what was his motto? What was his motto of life? You know what his motto of life was? Mi anochi, and there's no free lunch. Hashem says, a person whose motto in life is mi anochi, and there's no free lunch, I like this person. He is my man. I am selecting him to be my representative. Asher bochar binvim toivim. Why? Because Hashem is looking for people who he likes, who have mottos, have diburim, which capture who they are, and that's the criteria. That's why Moshe was selected. Okay, ready? Let me tell you another quick vart. Moshe Rabbeinu, he comes down to Mitzray. He sees Mitzri try to murder a Jew, so he kills him. The next day, there are two Jews that are fighting, Dasan v'Aviram. Rosh Olam Esakes Reyach. He gives it to them. He lashes into him. He says back with chutzpah, Misam Chulish. Hal hargeni ato imer kasher raktes haMitzri. Ochei noida hadavar. Moshe is out of here. He runs away right away. Paro wants him. Rashi says that he was apprehended, and they tried to kill him, and a miracle happened. His neck turned into stone, and Paro lost his vocal cords went dry, and the people there, their hearing went out. It sounds like some CIA operation. And Moshe magically escaped to Midian. Okay? He escaped to Midian. Unbelievable. Okay. He comes to Midian, and the Torah, uncharacteristically, tells us a lot of information. The Torah does not do this. It doesn't tell you stories. This is not a storybook. It tells you he comes to the well, and it tells you about the daughters of the Kohen Midian. And it tells you there were seven daughters, and Sipora, and he goes, and the people, they drove her away because she was, why did they drive her away? How, not nice.
She was a girl.
A woman, this is discrimination. This is in America, how could you do this in America? How can you go, a young girl, he could babish a whole write-up on the crime against humanity of pushing away the young girl from the well. Can you imagine America? They write that a young girl comes to the well. You know, I'm not going to go over. Okay, we're not going to waste your time on my nonsense. But you could use your imagination. And Rashi says, I'll tell you why this happened. Rashi makes it very clear because Yisro used to, the society was woke. They were mishugai. They all worshipped idols. And who was the leader? Yisro. And Yisro one day woke up and said, you know something? This is nonsense. All this idolatry is garbage. And you know what? I quit. I'm an anti-idolater. I am anti-woke philosophy. And they couldn't deal with it. Society could not deal with a defector. They could not possibly deal with everything that happens today. It's all in the Torah. It's mamash the same thing. You have a society that is off the deep end. Yisro was part of that society. One day Yisro wakes up and says, this is garbage. Mamish garbage. The people in his society went off the deep end. Okay? All the vibe from the view, they didn't know how to deal with it. The IQ of all of their intelligence combined... doesn't
still in double digits.
Not even single dishes. Okay? They went off the deep end. And what did they do? They canceled him. It's all in the Torah. Mm-hmm. Nidui. They canceled him. Nidui. They issued a nidui. They canceled him, all of his social media accounts. Every single last one. They revoked his bank, like they do in Canada, they froze his bank accounts. Okay, they did everything in the world to possibly finish him off, including his family. Says this is Rashi. I'm not making this up. This is what it says in Rashi. This is Mamash, this is society today. The daughters, the seven daughters, they come to the well. Oh, where's your digital, you know, you have to scan your code, scan your Q code. In order to get into the well, doesn't work. It doesn't work because they've been canceled. The whole family has been excommunicated. So Moshe goes and he breaks all the machines and he says, these girls are getting water whether you like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Don't go for this garbage. And Moshe, Vayokam Moshe Vayoshion. You know what that means? The heroism of Moshe. Moshe didn't just save them from a bunch of Meshugayim. He saved them from society. Rashi says they were put in Nidui by society. The whole country of Midian put them in Cherem because they refused to go along with the agenda. And Moshe, with incredible heroism, saved them. He saved them. He couldn't care less. He went and he saved them. They go back to their father and they tell their father, Father, you're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe this. Can you imagine someone came, stood up for us? The father said to them, Lomo ze azavten eso ish. It's a very powerful word. Why did you abandon him? Abandon him? That's not the word you use. Why did you abandon him? Why did you abandon them? That's right. You abandoned. He went all the way out for you. You owe him. Go get him. Go get him and give him food, bring him back home. He marries Sipora. What happens before he marries Sipora? Yisro says to him, listen, you want to marry my daughter? You know, I'm going to be your shver. I'm going to support you. I'm the Ribbon Shalom. You can be my shver. I'll be your shver under one condition. You swear to me that you don't leave here unless you get permission from me. Unless you get permission. Okay, fine. Every single thing that just happened right now that the Torah uncharacteristically reports is all a dogma, is all hands-on training for what Moshe needs to be prepared for when he's going to go back to Eretz Yisrael.
Did Yisro know he was a
fugitive? Yes, a fugitive, yeah. Well, Yisro was also a fugitive. Yisro was excommunicated. Yisro was, Rashi says, Beferish, Yisro was in Nidui. Nidui means you are in Chem. No one is allowed to have any. The whole society. He was from the entire society. Yisro and Moshe had everything in common. They were both excommunicated. Outcasts. Both of them were outcasts. Both of them. A perfect shidduch. So everything that happened over here, if you pay attention, is purely training for Moshe. Now, first of all, this is not training. Also, I want to suggest it's even Musar. When Yisro said to Tzipor, Lomo ze azavten eso ish, you know what Yisro was really saying? That those words certainly, when she went back, certainly so what happened. So Tzipor went back, and Moshe said, why'd you come back for me? My father said to me, Lomo ze azavten eso ish. When Moshe heard those words, what were those words really being said? Moshe, why'd you run away? Why'd you run away, Moshe? Just because one guy, disgruntled employee, Dasan Vaviram, two disgruntled employees, they don't like you, you run away. You have a whole cloud you stroll there. You got millions and millions of people. They're desperate. He saw how much they suffered. And then what happens? From all the millions of people, there are two empty cans.
That's not why he ran away. They tried to kill him.
So what? So they tried to kill him. Moshe Rabbeinu, he survived. I'm saying a chiddush. You're right. I'm saying it's a chiddush. Vayaka Moshe, they tried to kill him. Rashi says his miracle, his neck turned into stone. Who says a miracle will happen tomorrow?
Right.
100%. That's the Pshuta Shel Mikra. But we didn't come here to the morning kollel from Pshuta Shel Mikra. We came here to go off the beaten track. That's why I'm trying to suggest is that the words Lama Zazavta Neso Ish, Moshe is very resourceful. When he comes to Midian and there's the well and the whole society, these girls are not getting to drink. Moshe says, yes, they are. I'll take you all down. And he did. Moshe was a very powerful person, obviously. Hashem did miracles for him. Moshe was resourceful. He would be able to survive. Just because you have two disgruntled employees who make a lot of noise, empty cans make a lot of noise. But most of Klal Yisrael are pitchers filled with the best wine the world has to offer. Every single thing that's being reported in this story here is a message for Moshe Rabbeinu. Don't you think Moshe, when Hashem says to Moshe after 40 years, Moshe, I'm recruiting you, you're going to be my man. Moshe says, no, I'm not, under no condition. At the end, Moshe gave in. Why did Moshe give in? Why did he give in at the end? Moshe was so stubborn, it's not to be believed. And yet he gave in. Why? Why did he give in? It's because he had a guilt complex. 40 years ago, Hashem said to him, Lama zeh azavten eso ish. Hashem didn't say, oh, what are you talking about? Hashem said, Yisro said it to Tzipora. Yisro didn't say it to Moshe. Hashem didn't say it to Moshe. It's the same. The Torah is recording. Yisro comes back the next day to Moshe. Moshe arrives on scene. He runs away. And the first thing that we learn is, Lama zeh azavten eso ish. The same way Yisro said it to his daughter Tzipora, it was a message to Moshe. Moshe, where are you running? Where are you running? These are your people. This is your destiny to help these people, to redeem these people. Why did you abandon your people? Because Paro wants to kill you? Big deal. So what? He wants to kill you. He wants to kill everyone. He'll kill his own family also. What do you care he wants to kill you? You'll figure it out. You'll figure out a way. Moshe, Lama zeh azavten eso ish? Why did you abandon your people? It was a message for Moshe. That guilt lived with him for 40 years. So when Hashem 40 years later said to him, Moshe, I got a job, Moshe says, you're right. I have guilt for 40 years. It's time for me to remove the guilt by doing what I'm supposed to do. This was a seed that Hashem planted in his head 40 years ago to get him ready to do what he needs to do. Okay, it's a chiddush to say this, yeah. But I feel confident in this. Well, you don't have to agree with me, of course, but that. Number two, Yisro says to him, Moshe, you want to marry my daughter? I'm the shver, and she's the shviga. You ain't going nowhere without my permission. I want you to swear to me. You're not going to walk out of here without my permission. And Moshe took it. Vayol Moshe. What is that in Musar? Klal Yisrael is stuck in Egypt. You know why? Because Hashem said they're not leaving without Hashem's permission. The bris bein habesorim. Yodoya teida. Ki ger yiye zaracha bi'eretz loylechem va'avodun di'inu yoysom arba me'oyshana. There's a gezeira min hashamayim. For 400 years, there is no way they're getting out of their Egypt until the Shavuah of Hashem is the bris of Hashem is niskayim. When Yisrael says to Moshe, Moshe, you want to marry my daughter? Excellent. But you're not leaving here without my permission. This was a life experience that Moshe should appreciate firsthand what it means for Klal Yisrael, the bris, the shibud of the bris bein habesorim. And of course, the fact that they're living in Nidui, The whole world are idolaters. They're bowing down to stone and wood. And because they because Moshe believes in God, Moshe is a maimin, and Yisro is a maimin, they're in need. You're out of society. To live with that feeling of persecution is exactly what was happening in Egypt to Klal Yisrael. Moshe, on a personal level, is being taught exactly what Klal Yisrael is going through as a whole, and the requirements of the Bris Bein HaBasarim, and Moshe's guilt, it's my duty to help them. Three things. There are three elements trying to bring out in the story of Yisrael. Because, you know, if this story was not in the Torah, you'd open up a medrash and I'll tell you all these details. It's not relevant over here. What's all? It's being taught to show you that Moshe Rabbeinu was being trained. He was being trained as boot camp without him even knowing. Lama ze azavtan, why did you run away? Number two, understanding your situation here in Midian is no different than the situation of Klal Yisrael in Egypt. And number three, Klal Yisrael can't leave until the right time comes. They have a debt to pay from the Bris Bein HaBasarim, just like you can't. You're also in prison here by Yisrael. You took Vayoyel Moshe, he took an oath to his father that he's not going to leave. The same way this is true for Moshe Rabbeinu, it's true for every single person. Every single person, every stage in his life is being trained for what's coming next. Okay, you have to have emuna, and you have to open up your eyes and absorb the lesson. Because when you're going to need those lessons, if you're not going to be prepared, if you're not going to properly go to training, when there's an emergency coming down the road, chas v'shalom, whatever the new situation, if you're not going to take advantage of the training, you're not going to be ready. And every step in life is just training ground for the next situation, good situations, but you need the proper training. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, thank you for coming. Have a wonderful day. Good Shabbos. A good Shabbos.
A good Shabbos.
A good Shabbos. Nice to see you, Ron. A good Shabbos.
A good Shabbos.